We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
From KMOX Sports.
The bases are loaded.
This is the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
Swinging a long one to left.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm. Because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
He hits one deep to left field.
You bet!
That's a grand slam for Yadier Molina.
It's a slammer!
This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Thursday night, getting ready for Cardinals baseball here on KMOX. Get 7:50 for so about an hour and 40 minutes before we get to the pregame show. 8:45 for the first pitch in San Francisco tonight. Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals, Logan Webb for the Giants. Should be a good pitching matchup. Again, a couple of guys that are pitch to contact dudes. Not that they don't strike people out, but they're strike throwers and should be a good pitching matchup. Cardinals have some interesting things in their lineup. They've got Nolan Arenado hitting third again. So that's back-to-back games now that he's hitting in the three spot, following Tommy Edman and Paul Goldschmidt. Juan Yepez back in the lineup tonight. And, you know, look, I'm really going to be interested to see what they do with him. I'm going to talk more about this later on. But I'm really interested to see what they do with him if they give him a chance to just maybe get on a little run. I mean, he was crushing at Memphis. He went 2-for-3 with a couple of doubles yesterday, although one of them wasn't hit particularly hard. It was just placed very well. But I do wonder if he's going to get that opportunity now. He does not have split issues. At least he hasn't in the minors. He hits right-handers just fine. And we'll see. I mean, look, the lineup needs a jolt. They've been inconsistent. You really have only had two or three guys that have been consistently bringing it on the offensive side here in the early part of the year. Arenado, obviously, Edman. Goldie was off to a slow start, but really the last couple of weeks he's been consistent too. Wouldn't be bad to add someone to that. Of course, I think O'Neill's going to eventually hit and all that. But anyway, we'll talk more about that a little later in the show. We're going to get to, the DH spot. Yepes getting another shot today. I want to talk about the importance of the rotation. And even without Jack Flaherty, how good the rotation has been this year. That's a really big deal. So we'll talk a bit about that. I'm going to get to a little bit of making a point about not overvaluing or overweighting or overrating early numbers from baseball players. You know, people are already booing guys that have big contracts. And I don't even just mean in St. Louis. I'm talking about around Major League Baseball. I tweeted about Trevor Story earlier. He got booed today because he struck out four times and his offensive numbers stink so far. And he's in the first year of a six-year deal that's $140 million. And I want to get to that point about not making too much out of 4 or 5 weeks worth of numbers when you're talking about a six-month sport. So we get to that. There's a great story in The Athletic today, you know, Saris did, that talks about how hitters should swing less, that they should swing less, which is interesting because that would lead to better success in terms of hitting based on the numbers, based on, you know, what happens when you swing versus when you swing more selectively. But is that fun? It gets back to the baseball problem of efficiency versus entertainment. We'll go to that a little bit later on and, of course, obviously talk a bit more about this series between the Cards and the Giants later on. But I want to start with the Blues. And, last night wasn't a lot of fun. And for understandable reasons, man. I mean, like, this isn't, to me, it wasn't a team totally laying an egg or anything. I mean, Minnesota came out smoking. They came out ready to fight back. I mean, they were in a desperate spot. If they go down 2-0 heading back to St. Louis, clearly that's not a good spot to be in. So they came out well. The Blues struggled, especially early, but the bigger problem isn't just that they lost 6-2 or whatever. The problem now is the health on the blue line. They lost Robert Bortuzzo yesterday. He left in the first period after, I mean, I'm going to just say it this way, and it was obviously not done intentionally, but on his part, but he blocked a shot with his face, and he was out for the rest of the game, and we don't know what his status is going to be next week. Nick Leddy was not available to play last night. Marco Scandella was not available to play last night. So, yeah, it's less than ideal when you're going to play a game two against a desperate team with only five defensemen instead of six. And keeping in mind that you started that game with your seventh and eighth defensemen dressed and playing in that top six. So, yeah, you were already, I mean, even if you had all six, you were already dressing guys that aren't really a part of the plan. And if you have to dress, not just dress, but skate, like play your seventh, eighth, and ninth defenseman as a part of your top six tomorrow, it's going to be a problem. And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you know, guys are hurt when they're hurt, and when they're okay, then they're back. But that makes it a lot more difficult. I mean, we knew that Scandella was hit or miss. We knew that Craig Berube had said that Nick Leddy was a game-time decision yesterday. So we knew that those two were at least potentially going to miss the game, but you didn't know you were going to lose Bortuzzo on the back end either. And, you know, you might get one or more of them back, hopefully, tomorrow. If you don't, again, it's going to be a challenge because, I mean, it's the playoffs, and, you know, when you've got defensemen 7, 8, and 9 dressed in your top six by necessity, it's not easy to make up that difference. I mean, there's a reason why the guys that are your regular players are your regular players. So you're going to be, you may be, I shouldn't say you're going to be, because we don't know exactly what the next couple of days are going to look like when it comes to, you know, getting these guys ready. We know that Scandella's got a lower body injury. We know that Nick Leddy has an upper body injury. It sure looked like Leddy's head got smacked into the boards in game one. So, I mean, we may be dealing with a concussion there with Bortuzzo. The puck to the face can be broken bones. It can be a concussion. It could just be a bad cut. Although players normally come back from bad cuts unless there's something more to it. So hopefully there isn't, but yeah, Bortuzzo's shot leaves you with a couple of potential problems, and that's where you stand right now. You know, you're looking at the very strong possibility of being really short on defense. So what does that mean? Well, I mean, obviously it means you have less room for error. I mean, I think it means you ask more of your forwards in your own zone. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean that they didn't do that last night, or they weren't trying to, or they don't play that way all the time. That's not really what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, when you're down something, somebody else has to make up for it. I mean, yeah, you can say, well, the guys that step in just have to play those roles. But, you know, they're probably not capable. They're not as good as the players that they're replacing. Otherwise, they would be in the lineup to begin with. So that's going to be the challenge. I'm not really too concerned. I mean, obviously with injuries, you're always worried. But I think you can beat the Wild even if you're not healthy there. I mean, missing three guys is a lot, but I think, you know, if you get a good goaltending night from Ville Husso, if the offense can come out and get you and put you in a spot where you can get an early lead and you don't have to be pressing while you're behind and doing that while you're short on the blue line, you know, you can definitely win games even if you're shorthanded. But, man, you need to get these guys back sooner rather than later, because even if you do, and I still think they're going to beat the Wild, but it's certainly a little bit less certain given the current circumstances. But boy, if you're short going up against Colorado, not happy about that. So I guess we'll watch how it goes over the next couple of days. We are going to hear from Craig Berube in a couple minutes. He talked a bit about, you know, everything coming out of last night's game, the status of these guys, all of that after practice today. So we'll get to that. And I have a few more thoughts on the Blues heading into game three against the Wild coming up next here on KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, a little bit more on the Blues, and I already gave you my reaction to last night, and I'm still feeling pretty good about the rest of the series, but obviously being short, if you're going to be short three defensemen or even two, it's going to be a bit of a difficult issue. It's going to be even more of an issue if you advance and take on the Avalanche, but either way, things are what they are, and you just have to wait for the guys to get healthy enough to get back out on the ice. But instead of more of my reaction, let's hear a little bit from Craig Berube, and then we'll talk about some of the things that he hits on. This is from after practice earlier today.
Scandella was out there skating just a while ago. Was that a sign that he's closer or not necessarily?
Well, he's been skating. I think it's more, you know, just trying to keep him going here the best we can. And if he feels like, you know, he comes in and is skating, he feels better, you know, and, you know, you never know, right? But it's just trying to keep him going.
You've seen a lot. That had to be a little scary even for you to see or two.
Yeah, it's a tough play, real tough play. So glad he came out of it all right. Like, you know, I mean, not, you know, too hurt. Like, you know what I mean? That could have been dangerous. But, yeah, so I was fortunate for him.
Show you how fearless he is. It just doesn't.
Yeah, he lays it on the line all the time, right? No matter what. And when there's a broken play like that, that's what he does. He goes down and tries to block things and help out the best he can. And, you know, it's a tough play.
And then Perunovic, I think reading back when he first had the surgery, it was about right about now that he was going to get reevaluated. Does that sound right or no? Get the wrist reevaluated or no? Or has he?
No, I think, you know, he's making progress. I mean, he's skating and he's doing more with his wrist. And, like, you know, he's getting better and better. Like, a timeline on it, that's tough for me to give you a timeline because, you know, it boils down to when he starts doing the puck battling and the battling and things like that, that's where we're really going to test it.
Yeah, because you're obviously really using the wrist for that kind of stuff. What kind of reports did you get on Santini from Springfield?
Normal. Like, he's, you know, obviously a real good leader down there, and he gives you everything he's got every shift. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's He's, you know, a difficult guy to play against. He's, you know, physical and just simple with the puck. You know, that's his game.
You had to put him in last year, even in the playoffs. I mean, you were okay with him, right? Didn't you?
I was. Like I said, he doesn't, you know, he's not going to wow you with a puck play or anything like that, but he's going to make simple plays, and he's going to play hard, and he's going to battle at the net and do things like that. He's going to try to make it difficult for the other team.
Craig, you said a couple days ago, I guess, with the Thomas line, you know, they're going to get difficult matchups, and they're going to have to fight for their ice. Did they do a better job?
Better job. You know, I thought, you know, I look back, Bucci hit the crossbar. Tomer had some good looks, just got deflected or just missed. And then Vladdy, you know, Vladdy scored, hit a post. I thought Fleury made a really good save on that rush play where he went back door. It was a great save by Fleury on that play. So they had some looks. So I was pleased to see them get more offense last game than they did the game before. You know, they just got to keep battling through it. Like, there's not going to be easy ice, you know. And overall, offensively, we didn't do enough in the game. We got to get to the net more. We got to make it more difficult. We got to get to the net. We got to get second and third opportunities around the net, and we got to get there.
Does that just go with possession time, having a little more time to get there, or no?
No, it's more of a mindset more than anything. That's the biggest thing.
There you go, Craig Berube from after practice today. And, you know, you hear that last part. I mean, it's kind of the regular stuff you hear from teams when you're trying to be better, right? Get to the tough areas, get to the front. And it's not wrong. It's always right. It's just, you know, that's something that, you know, you're trying to find ways to make up for a kind of a downer of a performance. Again, you understand when you're shorthanded, but there was more that went into last night's loss than just, you know, you're being a little shorthanded on defense. So interesting to see how this is going to be played out with the Blues. But I don't mind the matchup. I think it's okay. I think you're going to be even shorthanded. You got a pretty good chance, but you know, you look at how game one went and how the game was controlled, and yesterday it was pretty quickly out of the gate, not your day, and then you're chasing the rest of the game. That's not the good feeling. So I'll be curious to see how the team starts in game three coming up at Enterprise Center. And again, nice to be coming home, even up 1-1 there. You go out and you do your job, you get one of the two at least, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll obviously update injuries and all of that in advance of Game 3 tomorrow. All right, coming up next, we're going to start shifting our attention to the Cardinals. They take on the Giants tonight in San Francisco. And the Giants just made a change for their pitching matchup today. Logan Webb is not going to start today. I was looking at Susan Slusser from the San Francisco Chronicle. She covers the Giants and I believe the A's as well sometimes. But she tweeted that Webb is going to start on Saturday now. So he was going to go today. He's now going to go Saturday. Today's going to be a bullpen day for the Giants with Mauricio Yovera as the starter, so you probably won't see him for more than a couple of innings. But we'll talk a bit about that matchup. I got a few other issues I want to get into. I want to talk about the importance of a healthy Miles Mikolas as we go through. There are a few other interesting things about early season performance and, you know, not getting too excited and not getting too worried. All of that I want to get to. Next up, let's talk a bit about just what we know about Game 1 for the Cardinals and the Giants. Juan Yepes getting another shot in the lineup. A little bit different look to the batting order. We'll talk a bit about all of that as we get ready for Game 1 coming up next here on KMOX.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
Swing it along with the left. That's a grand slam for Yadier Molina.
You bet!
This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
All right, so we turn our attention to the Cardinals opening up a four-game series against the Giants in San Francisco tonight. These two teams come into play today in the exact same spot. They're both 14-10. And, you know, look, they both, you know, the Cardinals have been a little, not a little, they've just been inconsistent offensively this year. I mean, that's pretty easy to say when you look at the game-by-game, how it's been playing out. The Giants are not all that different. They haven't pitched quite as well as the Cardinals, although it's very close, like this stage of the year, you know, 1/10, 2/10 of a run of ERA, really not that big of a difference. But, you know, there it should be an interesting matchup. You know, you've got a bullpen day for the Giants today. Logan Webb was going to start, but it's going to be Mauricio Yovera. And he's been a reliever. He's never made a major league start, so this will be his first big league start. But he's probably, I don't know if they're going to go straight opener, but it's probably something along those lines of a bullpen day for the Giants today. And then, obviously, Miles Mikolas is going for the Cardinals. Looking at the Cardinals lineup today is pretty interesting. You know, they're trying to shake things up. And I give, you know, look, Oliver Marmol said this all along, that they're gonna change things up based on performance, based on matchups. They're not going to get married to any particular thing. And, you know, look, they're sticking with a few things, right? You're sticking with Edmund and Goldie at the top, in part because they've both done a really good job of getting on base. And, you know, earlier in the year, it was Dylan Carlson who was hitting at the top. Well, he wasn't getting it done. He's been struggling, so now he's in the number eight spot. And Arenado has been consistent. He's been dominant. And, heck, why not put that guy up right after the two guys that are getting on base a lot? So now Arenado's in the three spot following Edmund and Goldie. Tyler O'Neill's getting a crack in the cleanup spot today. Juan Yepes is back in the number five spot. So, again, no big problems here. They need guys to start hitting. I mean, this is the truth of it all. You know, everybody's mad at Paul DeJong, and understandably, because he's struggling, man. He's been struggling now for, probably 2.5 years. You know, he struggled last year. He struggled in 2020, although that was really a half year. And then he struggled in the second half of 2019. I mean, so, yeah, it's understandable. Yeah, he needs to be better. And if he's not going to be, then you're certainly going to need to see somebody else in there that's going to get the job done. So maybe, you know, Edmundo Sosa certainly would seem to be the first guy in line once they decide to go that route. And then after that, we may see what happens with Nolan Gorman and then what their feeling is about Tom DeEdmond sliding over all that. But I think that would be a little further down the line, just based on how they're acting, the way that they've done things so far. Who knows, though? Maybe, you know, maybe Brendan Donovan gets a look in some of this. Not at short. I think Edmund's probably better suited to playing short. But Donovan's here. He's not getting a lot of playing time. And maybe there's an opportunity there here in the not-too-distant future. But the bottom line is that it's not just Paul DeJong that needs to hit better. Yes, he does, or he needs to come out. I think I agree. I'm with you. But it's not just him. You know, again, Dylan Carlson is really struggling. He's got a 506 OPS. I mean, he's negative war, negative wins above replacement this year for Dylan Carlson. And, you know, with Yepes here, and he had a good first game. He's back in there today. If he starts to swing the bat, those at-bats are going to come at somebody's expense. Now, it's most likely Corey Dickerson's expense, which is interesting because he really hasn't had much of a chance to gain any momentum here yet anyway. But it's probably at his expense, probably not at Albert's expense, at least not when it comes to lefties, because Albert is beating the heck out of lefties. He's just not hitting righties. He's only 2-for-21 against righties. But yeah, I think it's really easy to point out who needs to be better. This is not calling anybody out. This is simply an observation of reality. You can't be consistent offensively when Dylan Carlson, Tyler O'Neill, Harrison Bader, Paul DeJong, Yadier Molina, all those, you know, Corey Dickerson, will throw him in there. It's not been a lot, but we'll throw him in there. You know, Edmundo Sosa hasn't done anything when he's been in the lineup. That's part of the reason why he probably hasn't played more, because when he's been in there, he hasn't done anything really to merit more time. Although you could easily make the argument that you got to let him have, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row to play to get a chance to get it going. But the truth of the matter is that every guy that I just listed, again, Carlson, O'Neill, Bader, DeJong, Molina, Dickerson, Sosa, you name it. All of them need to be better than they've been. I mean, it's easy, simple. The numbers tell us that. It's not narrative. It's not emotion. It's very obvious what they need to be. And they need to be, all of those guys need to be above average to good players. Maybe not all of them. Look, honestly, if DeJong and Molina were just average, like league average, that'd be fine. You need O'Neal, though, to be good. You need Harrison Bader to be at least average, maybe above average. You need Dylan Carlson to be at least average, if not above average. Now, I'm going to get into this a little bit later on, so I'm not going to go too deep on it now. But after the news, I want to talk a bit more about the importance of not drawing conclusions, of not overweighting the first month of the season or any single month of the season. And the reason it's more difficult in the first month is the lack of counterbalance. You don't have the other good months to balance out a bad month. If you're great in April and May and have a crappy June, your numbers still look pretty good. When you have a crappy April, your numbers just look like garbage. So, yeah, I think it's really easy to say that there are 6-7 guys in this lineup that need to be better. And again, it's not a calling anybody out. It's not even all that critical. It's just a fact. I mean, look at the numbers. The numbers tell you the story. Now, what's keeping the Cardinals in a good spot is the pitching. And that's something I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, is the starting pitching especially, which is interesting because you haven't had Jack Flaherty at all, but your starting rotation has still been significantly better than it was last year. So, you know, when we're looking at what would make this team start to go a little bit better, what would make them more consistent, it is the focus is on the offense for that reason. Because the starting pitching has been what you need it to be. It just has. And your bullpen has been pretty good. You've had a couple of bad outings here recently, but you know, a couple of the bad outings didn't really matter because you were already down 5 runs when they came in, and you know, you didn't score any runs in the end anyway, so it's not like it's what changed everything for you. But you know, I do think that as we kind of assess, you know, what needs to change, because we have to understand, like, Nolan Arenado is not going to hit like this all year. So when he starts to come back to his more normal performance, you have to be able to make up for that with other guys taking steps forward. And, you know, while Paul Goldschmidt's been really good getting on base and doing his whole thing there, the power hasn't been there yet. Although, you know, again, I think it's important to kind of use last year to give us some perspective. And it's not just last year. I mean, you know, a player like Goldie, a player like Arenado, they have long track records. But you had an offense with the Cardinals last year that for a lot of the year was a problem. It was a concern. And, you know, we had our issues with it, right? Like last year at this time, Paul Goldschmidt had a 597 OPS. And Arenado was a 780. And, you know, DeJong was struggling. And you were playing Justin Williams almost every day and not getting much there. Tyler O'Neill was okay early in the year. But, boy, later in the year, he was just killing it. Like, absolutely killing it. And the problem with asking people to be patient is it feels like you don't have the time for that. Even though you do, even though you've got 5 more months, you're looking at the standings and you're seeing, you know, you're behind Milwaukee, that you're close. And I think that, you know, when you're talking about comparing the Cardinals to other teams, you know, Milwaukee has the best record in the National League right now. Well, they have the most wins. They have the second best winning percentage, but they have the most wins with 18. The Mets have 18, but the Mets have an extra loss. The Dodgers have played fewer games, but their winning percentage is a little better. But keep in mind, you know, we talk about the Giants being the team that was a 105-win team last year. They're at 14-10 too, and the pace 14-10 is a 94.5-win pace. 94, 95 wins is going to put you in the playoffs. It's going to have you in the division race. When I look at the Cardinals right now, I see an offense that's underachieving, an offense that clearly will be better. It's just a matter of how much better and which guys are you going to be able to rely on once things start to level off later in the year. I look at Milwaukee and I see a team that's overachieving offensively. Now, they're definitely a good team on the pitching side. And look, maybe they are able to piece together their offense a little bit along the lines of the way that the Giants did last year, with using heavy platoons and playing certain guys against certain matchups. You know, Yelich has been a little better here lately, so he's starting to look more like his old self. Not quite there, but you're getting a little bit more out of him. But I would also say that, you know, when I look at Milwaukee's lineup, Rowdy Tellez is not going to have a 966 OPS all year. He's going to hit for some power, but he's going to come back down to earth. They do have some guys that I think are, like Colton Wong, performing well below what I think they'll do. But overall, offensively, I think they might be a little bit above their heads, but their pitching obviously is really good. So even if the offense slows a little for them, their pitching is going to keep them right there. What I'm saying is Milwaukee's not a 100-win team. Neither are the Cardinals. We're both looking at probably somewhere in the mid-90s. I think maybe the upside is like 97 for these teams, 98. That's like the really good side. I'd expect it to be more like 94, 95 for those teams to potentially win the division. And part of the reason I think they're going to win so many games is that the rest of the division just stinks. I mean, Pittsburgh is not good. The Cubs are not good. And the Reds are, oh boy, 3-22 after today. 3-22, and they are negative 87 in the run differential in 1 month. That's a lot of wins for the Brewers and the Cardinals. All right, so next up, let's change the gears just a little bit. I'm going to talk more about the offense. I'm going to talk more about what assigning proper weight and value to statistics in the first month of the season. But next up, I want to talk about the pitching, because my opinion of last year was what did them in was the rotation. It wasn't erratic bullpen stuff at the end of the year with Alex Reyes getting weird and some other guys being hurt. It wasn't the lineup that was inconsistent for a lot of the year. It was the starting pitching. And so far this year, the starting pitching has been really good. We'll talk about that next up here on KMOX. All right, let's dive in a little pitching here. We've been talking a lot about the offense because we tend to talk a lot about the part of the team that worries us the most, which is totally fair and understandable. But, you know, the thing that really held the Cardinals back last year was starting pitching. I don't think there's any debating that. It's a pretty simple thing to look at. You know, the number of guys they had to cycle through, the number of just crappy starts that happened because guys ran up pitch counts or walked people. And it didn't settle down until, you know, Wade LeBlanc and John Lester and Jay Happ, those guys came in later in the year and just threw strikes. I mean, they weren't amazing. They weren't dominant. They weren't awesome. They were just adequate. Well, the starting pitching's been better than adequate this year, and that's even without Jack Flaherty, and that's why you're 14-10. And that's why I'm not as concerned about the lineup, because you're 14-10, even with the offense being eh. And really, you know, I talked about this last night. You know, they rank basically middle of the pack in Major League Baseball, right? There's a league average offense. Well, keep in mind that that's average because Nolan Arenado has been an alien, because he's been ridiculously good. When you take him out of it, or Edmund out of it, and you look at everybody else, they're nowhere near league average. So you have to understand all of that when you're trying to break that down into pieces. But the reason they have this wiggle room is that the starting pitching has been phenomenal. They already have 10 quality starts this year as a staff. And again, that doesn't sound like a lot, but off the top of your head, it might not sound like a lot, but you know, 10 quality starts already this year in 1 month is a really good start to the season, especially when you haven't had your number one starter. And, you know, when you look at last year, for example, you know, you had, I believe it was, I can't remember exactly how many quality starts it was. I mean, put it this way. Adam Wainwright had 22 quality starts last year. The next highest was 9. So, you know, you basically had nothing going on in that regard. And this year, you got Miles Michaelis pitching like one of the best in the National League. Now, again, he's not going to have a 1.52 ERA in July. But that's not the point. The point is that he's giving you innings. He's almost exactly at six innings per start. He's getting some swings and misses. He's not walking people, and he's limiting production against him. Dakota Hudson hasn't been amazing, but he's been good. He's got a 3.16 ERA. The walks are a little high for him, and that's the worry. He's got to get the walks down. But other than that, he's been pretty good. It's not, again, not perfect, but good. Adam Wainwright, not perfect, but good. In fact, Waino's starts have really been kind of half and half, right? Like, three have been amazing, three have been not so great. But in the end, you're still talking about a guy that's getting you, you know, six innings every time out. And you're talking about a guy that's got a 3.18 ERA. And, of course, Steven Matz had one particularly bad outing. And outside of that one outing, he's been really good. You know, his first outing was really bad. And, you know, he had another one, the one against the Mets that wasn't great. He gave up four earned runs in four innings. But that first one against the Pirates, the seven earned runs in three innings, that's what has jacked up his ERA. But in three of his last four outings, he's given up 0, 1, and 0. So in three of his five outings, he's been exactly what you need. Now, again, you want to avoid the blowups, not excusing those, but the point is, Matz is got to get a little deeper into games, and the blow-up games have they've damaged his innings pitch so far. But even he's striking people out. Fastball's got great life. He's striking out 10 batters per nine innings right now. And he is, even though he's had the couple of bad outings, he's kind of in the spot where Lester and Happ were last year. You know, ERA in the fours. They're keeping you in games, but he at least can miss some bats. And I think, you know, in three of his five starts, we've seen better than that. And, of course, Jordan Hicks in his starts has been mostly okay. His last one wasn't as good. But really, that one we're still kind of piecing together. And they've been able to play around because of the rainouts. They haven't had to use that fifth spot in the rotation but three times. They've only needed three starts from that spot in the rotation. And they're going to need more. And whether it's Woodford later on, or Verhagen comes back, or Matthew Liberatore gets called up, or Flaherty comes back off the injured list at some point, which, by the way, now certainly isn't going to be until June. I mean, he hasn't started throwing yet, so you're going to be at least, I mean, I'm just spitballing here, but you're going to be at least 4 weeks from the time that he starts throwing. I mean, you got to build up to long from just playing catch to long toss, and then you got to throw off the mound. You're probably going to face hitters in live BPs, and you're going to have to go on a rehab assignment. I mean, we're probably looking mid-June at the earliest. And again, that's just spitballing. Maybe it's better than that. But the point is, your rotation has been very good. The most of the bullpen has been amazing. Yeah, you had a couple of bumps in the road. Gallegos has had a couple of crappy outings, as an example. But you're getting what you need from the pitching. You have one of the better pitching staffs in the National League at this point. And they're leaning on that while you're trying to get the offense going. Speaking of offense, we're going to talk about how you weight stats early in the year and whether or not hitters in general should swing less. That's all coming up after the news on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.